When God wanted us to understand how He cares for us, He gave us the picture of a shepherd tending his flock. Shepherds, they do much more than guide their sheep to sources of food and water. They take a personal interest in every sheep, providing correction to ensure that animal's well-being. Today, we're going to look into the writings of David, the shepherd turned king. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer is in a series on When God Shows Himself. Turn with us to the beloved 23rd Psalm as we learn what happens when the shepherd takes our hand.
If people would just repeat Psalm 23 seven times every night before they go to bed, we very seldom, if ever, would have an emotional breakdown. Those are the words of Charles Allen, a Christian psychologist. If only we grabbed hold of Psalm 23. As we come to this wonderful psalm today, let us not be fooled simply because we are so familiar with it. It is deep in its riches, and let us not be hindered simply because some of us have never taken care of sheep. I had to do a little bit of studying this week to actually find out what shepherds go through so that I'd be better equipped to be able to interpret this psalm. So you shall receive some of those insights as we go through the message. Jesus is known as the Good Shepherd. He said in John chapter 10, I am the Good Shepherd and I am known of mine. I know my sheep. They follow me. They recognize my voice. He is the Good Shepherd of Psalm 23. How does a shepherd get sheep? Well, unless he inherits them, he buys them. Jesus purchased us at high cost. And then what a shepherd does is he marks every sheep on his ear, putting his particular stamp on the ear of each of the sheep so that there's no question about identification. Jesus marks us with the cross. He gives us the blessed Holy Spirit of God. Why? As a down payment, as a recognition that we belong to Him. And He follows us all the way home. What we're going to do this morning is to simply be blessed. Would you like to just open your soul today for God's blessing? You say, well, I feel unworthy of God's blessing. Believe me, you are unworthy of God's blessing. So am I. We all are. But God has chosen to bless us. And today we're going to relax. I'm relaxed. I want you to be relaxed. Then all that we're going to do is to soak in Psalm 23 and leave rejoicing and leave changed forever. The way I intend to look at this psalm is to list from it those responsibilities to which a shepherd commits himself when he has some sheep. What are those responsibilities that a shepherd takes over when he has sheep? Now, I'm referring to those of you, of course, who are the sheep of Jesus. Some of you aren't, and I'm going to give you an opportunity at the end of the message to become one of his sheep, but actually, it's just now for those of us who know him, though I want all the rest of you to listen in. What does a shepherd commit himself to do when he takes over responsibility for the sheep? Well, are you ready to be blessed? All distractions set aside, every worry about tomorrow taken care of, every regret of yesterday under the blood, so that we can be blessed. Well, first of all, you'll notice that he takes responsibility to provide for them. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Sheep are very difficult to get to lie down. You cannot even cause them really to lie down, unless they do so voluntarily. And they don't do that unless all of their needs are met, because they cannot rest as long as they are restless. Very quickly, I'm going to list 5 different needs that a shepherd needs to take care of if he expects his sheep are actually going to lie down. First of all, they have to be free from anxiety. I understand that a rabbit running among some sheep can distract some of them, and a whole flock of sheep can become like a herd stampeding to nowhere, most of them not knowing why they're running, but they run anyway. You know, when God created sheep, I believe that He created them for the express purpose so that He would have a good illustration of human nature. He said, I want to create an animal that is as stubborn as human beings. I want to create an animal that is always tempted to go its own way. I want to create an animal that is essentially ignorant, though they think they know a lot more than they really do. I want to create an animal that is always going his own way. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. So I'm going to create sheep, because sheep are an awful lot like they are. In the Bible, sheep are not painted in a flattering way. So first of all, they have to be free from anxiety. The shepherd has to interfere so that they can get some rest, free from distraction, pests, all kinds of things that may distract a sheep, so that they can no longer concentrate on the rest that it is intended to give them. They have to be free from conflict. In every animal society, there is what is known as dominance. One animal wants to be dominant over the others. If it's among chickens, it's called pecking order. If it's among sheep, it's called butting order. And usually there is one sheep, sometimes an old, miserable ewe, who wants to take over charge of the flock, walks around, head cocked, eyes glaring, waiting for anyone to get some grass before she does, making sure that everyone is in line, taking care of everyone, and causing irritation throughout the whole herd. And the only way they can begin to rest is when the shepherd begins to interfere and give that flock some rest and some comfort from one or two that want to dominate the rest. And by the way, what ones are the most comfortable? The ones that lie down most easily, they are the ones who are further down in the butting order. They don't have anything to prove. They're not in competition. They're not jealous of others who have the best pasture lands, and they are the most contented. But notice what the text has to say. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He takes care of all of my needs. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Another need that must be met is, of course, food. And so what the shepherd does is he will find a piece of land, maybe remove the rocks, try to sow some grass, try as best he can to water it, to create the kind of pasture that the sheep will enjoy and benefit from. And he will do that, of course. And the sheep afterwards enjoy it, but they aren't necessarily thankful. God gives us food. It's the food of His Word that is to be absorbed into our soul. We're supposed to meditate in the law of God day and night, and then we find contentment. But many, many of God's sheep don't. They refuse the green grass and they go somewhere else. They fill their lives with television, and it's something like a sheep trying to be comfortable and sustained by AstroTurf. It's just not working. It's just not working. And then, of course, he says, he leads me beside still waters. Sheep do not like running waters because then they get their wool wet. So what he likes to do is to take rocks and so forth and create a little dam, a little place where the water can run, a little pool that is quiet. And God says, I take care of that myself. I feed you. I care about you. And I myself am the water from which you can drink. What is the responsibility of the shepherd? First of all, to provide for the sheep. He makes it available, but he can't force them to do it. If they don't want to, if they are interested in finding their own grass, their own polluted streams, all that the shepherd can do is work with them, and the sheep begin to face the consequences. Number one, the shepherd says, I'm going to provide for them. Secondly, The shepherd says, I'm going to guide them. You'll notice in verse 3, he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He restores me. There are two different kinds of situations in which sheep need to be restored. One is when they have followed false paths. A sheep will go from one clump of grass to another, to another, to another, and pretty soon, you know it, they're a quarter of a mile from the herd and they don't know their way back. Sometimes also there are robbers and thieves that will actually create some false paths for the sheep, hoping that they will wander down those paths. And oftentimes there are wind-swept paths that look like sheep paths that sheep will follow. And so what the shepherd has to do is he has to go find one of those sheep, and he needs to bring the sheep back into the herd or into the flock. And what happens if a sheep is particularly rebellious? A sheep that is simply unwilling to learn that it's a bad idea to get out of step with the rest of the flock. Well, what the shepherd will do, which seems very mean, is to actually break the leg of that sheep. And what he's trying to do is to teach him a lesson. That's why the Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray. And then he says in verse 71, it was good for me that I was afflicted. Now I have kept thy word. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I can't help but think that today I'm speaking to someone who is afflicted. Remember those words from the psalmist, it is good for me that I was afflicted because I have kept thy word. All of us have experienced the affliction of God, or let me use the word discipline, the discipline of God. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that if we are not disciplined by God, we are not true sons. We are illegitimate children. So if you are experiencing the hand of God, if you're experiencing the discipline of God today, there are two possible responses, and both of them are wrong. One is to faint. That's what it says in the book of Hebrews. Don't faint. And to simply give up and let discouragement destroy you. Don't let that happen. On the other hand, don't harden your heart. Don't say to yourself, if God is going to treat me this way, then I'm out of here. I can do without the Almighty if this is the kind of way in which he's going to, the afflictions that he's going to bring upon me. No, what we should do is to respond rightly to God and to simply say, Father, I am your child. I am greatly afflicted, but it is from your hand. Therefore, I am fully and abundantly satisfied, and I shall serve you and learn from this experience and be better for it. Do you have the faith and the grace to be able to accept God's affliction, the breaking of the leg of the lamb that has gone astray? Today, God scoops you up in his arms to carry you all the way home.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Today, Dr. Erwin Lutzer brought part one of When the Shepherd Takes Our Hand, the second of four studies in the Psalms in a series on When God Shows Himself. Tomorrow, more on how the shepherd disciplines his rebellious sheep. Running to Win comes to you from Chicago's Moody Church to help you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. Our four-part series on When God Shows Himself can be yours on CD, cassette, or MP3. For full information, call toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about When God Shows Himself when you call. Visit our website at runningtowin.org. And don't forget, Running to Win is supported by listeners like you. This is Dave McAllister. Join us tomorrow for our next Running to Win.